With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, everyone, to the Dynamo Abroad podcast, where we talk about anything and everything Dynamo Kyiv related. I'm your host, Alex Lishik, and back with us from across the pond, I know Eric's very excited, is Dima. How's it going, Dima?
Yeah, doing well. Good to be back on. Been a dreadful week. It's been exactly a week since I came back to England. It's been a dreadful week in quarantine. Absolutely nothing to do. But yeah, this should be fun.
And coming to us from the great state of New York is Eric. How's it going, Eric?
Going great. Feels like it's been forever since the three of us have been together. A lot of sleepless nights since Dima's been away, but obviously very glad to have him back and looking forward to this episode.
Good to see you made it through that tough time, Eric. As usual, we're going to hop straight in. We're going to go on to the latest news. Not a ton of news today. Or in the past week, I should say. Ramirez got COVID, so we wish him a speedy recovery, which would explain why he was not involved in the Benfica and 1925 games. Dynamo got a new website, and I think the website looks pretty good. I don't know about you guys. Looks actually modern for one. So
it looks like it's not from 2007.
Yes.
At the minimum.
Is the old website still up? Can you go on the old website?
No, it's down. Oh. Like, if you go to dynamo.kiev.whatever, it's nothing loads anymore, so at least they had the sense to take that down as well.
Fair enough. Dynamo, let's do some youth. I feel like it's been forever since we've covered some youth games. The U19s, well, actually, to be fair, Chorno Moritz is our youth team, so neither here nor there. The U19s lost to Metalist 2-1, Shulyatsky with the goal. Good to see Shulyatsky getting back into the swing of things after his injury. But they absolutely hammered the Benfica U19s in the UEFA Youth League. Goals from Bol, Brashko, Voloshin, and Diallo. Fair play to them. What else we got? I don't know if I've mentioned, but Nabil Bentaleb is linked to Dynamo. That is, I don't actually mind this signing inherently. It could be a decent signing for defensive midfield coverage because we don't really have a proper defensive midfielder outside of
Silver. Be a good, hypothetically, I think that would be a good signing, to be honest.
I think the one thing is
kind of like a washed up ex-Premier League player.
Yeah.
Who do well in the EPL.
Yeah, that's I wouldn't consider him for Champions League or European football, like unless it's for emergency. But if we have, you know, like right now we have a bit of a busy schedule coming up. If he was in the team now, I would have no problem playing him on Saturday against Alexandria to rest Sidor Chu for the Super Cup.
If we brought him in, we just have to, you know, just see what's what with him.
Isn't he a free agent?
Yeah,
I believe it would be the wages, though.
That's what I was going to say. I think it'd be a good move. The only thing that would concern me is the wages. But outside of that.
My only thing is that we might be able to get him for a little bit cheaper is, A, he's a free agent and he just got released in July. It's not the best sign in world history. And he's not really coming from the best recent reputation after being at Schalke recently. And for anyone who knows what Schalke has been like the last 2 or 3 years, I mean, they were just absolutely piss poor. So there's maybe that could have him come in for a little cheaper.
We're talking the German Minai here.
Ooh, those are fighting words, Dima.
Or maybe, I don't know, who was bad before that? Karpate.
That's fair. Yeah, good fan base, but never really achieved anything.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. That
they pretty sure they did win a Soviet Cup in like the 70s.
In recent years, we're talking about
like hard to remember because that was back when I was like in my 50s, but I kind of remember it.
Been a long time ago for you,
exactly.
But you know what's funny? Actually, I think that was 1969. Karpaty won the Soviet Cup. And I think that, you know what's great about that is that Schalke's last Bundesliga was, I think, the same year, or but definitely in the 60s. What else?
Well, yeah. Hey, hang on. Just before you say what you were going to say, right now I have in front of me a picture of, I don't know how well you can see that. Well, the listeners obviously won't be able to see that. It's a picture of Rodriguez and Ramirez. So I'm a bit confused on how the quarantine's going for him. Rodriguez was at the game.
Yeah, he was.
For some reason, he was at the Benfica game, but he's not a good influence from what I've heard, to put it lightly.
I mean, maybe they're doing a Yaroslavsky-style quarantine when your city's in a red zone, but you're still allowed 40,000 people to come to your first game back as owner, so...
Whatever Yaroslavsky wants, that's the rules. Well, it's whatever Rodriguez wants, that's the rules in Kyiv.
Last two bits of news. Shevchenko is linked to take over Dynamo from Luchescu, who supposedly has a contract till 2024, and... Dima and I and Eric were talking about this right before. You guys correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think we're necessarily open to this at the minute. Not saying that our minds would change in the future.
Yeah, possibly, but at the moment, this moment in time, no chance for me.
Would you guys take Sheva as an assistant to kind of work under Luchescu? Because I'm not saying Shevchenko is a young manager, but compared to Luchescu, he kind of is. So would you take him as an assistant for the next 2 or 3 years so he kind of learns under Luchescu and then becomes the head coach?
I think he'd get a lot less naive.
Yeah, I would say that I'm on board with it because I think that one of Sheva's greatest strengths is man management. I think that when it came to tactics, a lot of that was his assistance. And the Italians that work with him, and I'm not trying to disparage him or take that all away from him, but I do think that one of his biggest strengths was man management. That would be good for the locker room. I do think that would be a good move. And honestly, I think he could learn under Luchescu, but I agree with Dima. For the time being, it is Luchescu, period. I'm not thinking about anything else.
Yeah, I don't think there's a reason to go away from Luchescu. I think, honestly, all this squad needs is a little bit of investment, but I have no problem if you want to bring in like someone like Shevchenko, who there's nothing wrong with thinking about the future and say, okay, this is our long-term plan after Luchescu leaves in 2024. I personally have no problem with that because you're better off being at least have some kind of plan in place than no place at all. And
Sorry.
I was going to say, especially like knowing Dynamo, I'd rather have some kind of forward thinking instead of having the head in the sand as usual.
The only thing that concerns me with, I guess, the look ahead to the future and being focused on Luchescu right now is his health. So that's the only wild card for me when we talk about who's going to come in, things of that sort. Like I said, I mean, at this point, he's earned the right to stay here, to coach here, no questions asked. Unfortunately, that's something I'm sure part of it is outside of his, or I don't know how much of it, but outside of his control. But that's really the only wild card and concerning thing for me at the moment. And obviously, hopefully that he makes a recovery and this isn't something that is chronic or recurring.
Yeah, and I'm not saying by any means Shevchenko comes in and he kind of acts like an equal partner to Luchescu. Like, by definitely, Luchescu is the clear number one and Sheva is just an assistant, kind of how he was under Fomenko. But I think Luchescu is a little bit of a better coach than Fomenko. But enough on that. And I wanted to save the best news for last. Spartak and Shakhtar, Miasso and Waxtap have absolutely bottled their opening day of European football. Spartak lost to a piss-poor Legia side. And Eric, who did Shakhtar lose to? They lost to Inter, Roma, maybe Milan. Dima, could you help us out? Who did they lose to?
Well, I mean, if it would have been that match, the score line would have been a lot more. It would have been like 7-0 losses. It would have been like when they played Mönchengladbach. But honestly, Spartak, I don't really even care about whatever. I know, like, for the Ukrainians to, like, see Russian clubs losing, I mean, like I said, whatever. I personally really don't care. I was a lot happier to see Waxtap lose with, you know, the lofty ambitions that they have, $50 million spent in the transfer window for a club that shouldn't have even made it into the Champions League. And they can't beat Minai, can't beat Alexandria, and they cannot beat Vernidub. That after Milan lost to Liverpool in actually a pretty decent match, that definitely was the silver lining in my day yesterday.
Dima, what was that tweet you put out? Something about like something from an unrecognized republic or something like that.
Well, they spent 50 million. Awful, but now listen, awful. It's, you know, as a Dinamo fan, I can find it funny. I didn't necessarily celebrate it because I'm not one of these guys that support Shakhtar in Europe. But if they did win, at least we would have got a coefficient points for our league. But listen, they spent 50 million and they can't beat a team from an unrecognized republic, from so-called Transnistria. I mean, what can you even say? And then one thing I liked was De Zerbi saying, oh, we played well, but the ball wouldn't go in the back of the net. It's every time they don't get the result, I always hear some kind of excuse, like the pitch is bad, the ball's bad, everything's bad. Well, you spent 50 million. I mean, I'm pretty sure this, you know, one of their new signings alone cost more than the entire Sheriff team. Like, come on. But yeah, this isn't a Shakhtar podcast. But listen, I mean, our football's in a sad state, isn't it? It's going to have to be a Dinamo carry job. Dinamo and Luchesko carry job in the Champions League.
Yeah, all we need is Eric's buddy, Jaroslavski, to come back next year, Dima. It's okay. He'll be back soon.
Look, I'm all in favor of Metalist returning and a healthier league and all that, but I can't stand Jaroslavski, and I still want Dinamo coming out on top. Who finishes second, third, beyond that, I could care less.
Yeah, agreed.
On that note, we're going to go from one Metalist to the other one. Dinamo beat Metalist 1925, 2-0. I want to read the lineup real quick. Boyko on goal. Back four was Kionzora, Zabarni Sirota, and Mikolenko. Midfield three, it was a little bit different, wasn't it? It was Lenyev, Andriyevsky, Sidorchuk. Wingers were Tsigankov and Tepena, and striker Ilya Shkurin. Now, I didn't watch the first half of this game. I was at work, and when I checked my phone on the way back, I looked at our WhatsApp group, and the way you guys were talking about it, I thought we were losing at halftime. I really thought it had to be 2 or 3 nil to 1925. Eric, thoughts on the first half of this game?
I mean, if it's okay, I'm just going to give a quick thing on the whole thing, and then now, you know, Dima can give his thoughts. But I mean, honestly, it was not a good match at all. I mean, if you take a look at the stats, it's interesting because, I mean, I still think possession is a bit of an overrated stat, but 63-37 in Dinamo's favor, 21 shots for us, 8 on target, 13 off. They had 4 shots, 1 on target. And I believe one of their shots actually hit the crossbar, if I'm remembering that correctly.
Yeah, really poor defending from Kinzora. And then we were lucky not to concede then. Like, we were dominating, but they had the best. I think that was in the first half. Well, if it was, they had the best chance of the first half.
Yeah, I was expecting them to score off of that. But I mean, the stats kind of tell a little bit of a different story than what I just felt so sloppy from us. You know, if you take a look at the fouls from this match, and this is something that happens every game, and I've talked about this in the past, that, you know, there's no reason for us to be fouling these teams that can only beat us from set pieces and things of that sort. So, you know, the fouls, they had 10 fouls, 3 yellow cards. We had 9 fouls and 2 yellow cards. Like, I'm sorry, but against this team, there's absolutely no need for that. And that's exactly how we're going to end up. That's how we lose these matches. You know, like I said, it really wasn't that impressive of a match for me. It made me a little worried going into the Benfica match, but we'll get onto that in a minute. Obviously, 3 points is 3 points. Happy to come away with it. You know, taking a look at the lineup from this match, you know, Lednev playing as an attacking mid or, you know, playmaker as our number 10. Nothing against him. I like him, but that just doesn't work for him. Shkurin is still very raw. I mean, he does show some promising flashes from time to time. I just think he needs more time to integrate with the squad. But like I said, just still very, very raw. The stats show that we dominated, and I guess in some ways we did, but I just, against a team like this, if you take a look at the shots again, 21 shots, 8 on target, 13 off target. I mean, we're just not clinical enough with our finishing. Again, this is going to we'll talk about this in the Benfica match, but a lot of our attacks in the final third, just sloppy passing, wayward crosses, et cetera, which is a little frustrating, but I'll pass it over to Dima.
Yeah, I was about to say, Dima, do you have anything to add to Eric's analysis?
Not much really to add for what hasn't been said. I mean, yeah, it was a bit of a, I think, not to be disrespectful, but it was a pretty easy win. Like, they didn't really make us work that hard for it. I think, you know, like Eric said, it was pretty sloppy. So that's, you know, that's indication, you know, itself of, you know, us getting, you know, scoring two goals, but we weren't that great. But yeah, I think in particular, I think it was a weak first half, to be honest with you, from us. I mean, they had, well, we had a few chances, but they kept, you know, their keeper did well. I think they had even had a goal line clearance as well, to be honest. I don't remember. Maybe you can confirm. But yeah, as always, poor in the final third. I mean, the crossing poor. I mean, as always, shooting from distance, it's just wayward, you know. It's just going miles over, absolutely miles. Like, you know, sometimes these players, they score a long shot. I'm like, wow, why don't you do this more often? And then they take a shot that goes like, I wouldn't be surprised, like, genuinely, if it went out of the stadium. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's why. But yeah, first half as well, you know, so many passes and backwards and sideways, no one really, you know, taking the initiative to like trying to carry the team forward. I mean, in particular, I thought the left wing, so Mikolenko and Depena, I thought they were really poor, to be honest with you. I thought they were, you know, not much end product, well, not almost no end product, you know, not really helping things going forward. Didn't have a lot of defending to do, to be perfectly honest with you. But I thought Lidnyov as well, very ineffective. Centrally, he's very ineffective, I must say. But when he drifted out to the right, he was starting to, you know, kind of dribble past players, you know, create some chances. But, you know, through the middle, he was poor. So I wasn't surprised when he was taken off. They also could have had a red in that first half, I think, which, I mean, I'll have to see that. I mean, I don't particularly care since we won, but, you know. But yeah, I mean, good. We started in the second half. It was, you know, I guess Luchesko ripped into them, like me and Eric did in the chat. Good start. Got a quick goal. Good finish, to be fair. Had quite a few chances, to be fair. Had a lot of chances, you know, blocked, saved, cleared, everything, you know, miles over as well, of course. You know, when Garmisch scored that, I mean, it was a good cross from the bit. Garmisch came on for Lednev at halftime, pretty deservedly so, I think, you know, to be fair. Good finish. You know, he was there at the right place, right time. Stuck out a foot, and that was nearly disallowed. I had no idea why, but that did count. And then we just, we could relax after 2-0, to be honest with you. They didn't look like they were going to get back into the game. But yeah, a lot of poor decision making, but some nice play in that second half. But yeah, a few players. I think Skurin mentioned. I think he got an assist, and he actually could have had more, to be honest with you. I thought he went well. He played well, unselfish as well. You know, like I said, Mikolenko lively, but zero end product for me. Just one more player I want to bring up. Vjerovic came off the bench ahead of Vitinho, who I was quite disappointed with that. He did nothing but just lose the ball over and over and over again. I mean, yeah, but seems like he's going to take a while to get back into shape. But yeah, good win from the perspective that we got 3 points and got a clean sheet.
Can I pose this question to you guys? On Skurin, if... I believe it's a 1-year loan, right?
I believe so, with an option to buy.
Yeah, would you take that option to buy if the end of the season, if the option was right now? If, like, the end of the season right now?
Well, no, because he still hasn't scored a goal.
Okay, fair.
If he plays every game like he did against Mithilist, no question. Yes. If he plays every game like he did against Benfica, which we'll get on to, no, not good enough.
Yeah, if it were me, yeah, I'd take him. Because I think that, I mean, him playing in the Champions League against Benfica, still getting acclimated with the squad. I mean, I'm not trying to say that I mean, he wasn't great by any means, but like I said, I just still think he's very raw.
And that's fair enough.
Yeah. I think that he's shown that he can compete in the UPL as a bare minimum. And I think that the goals, if he gets more time, I do believe that they'll come. But yeah, I mean, what's the fee? Do we know what the fee is?
I don't think it's a lot. I think it's like,
I think it's 1 million
and something.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a lot of money, to be fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll see.
So I just
again,
yeah, go on.
Sorry. Then again, like if we spend just a bit more, then we could get maybe a significantly better player. But listen, whatever. If we get him, I wouldn't be that disappointed. But yeah, carry on.
Yeah, no, so I just wanted to check this out of curiosity. In his entire career, he's played 150 minutes of European football, 2 Europa League appearances, and 1 Champions League appearance for us. So that he's still very much...
Yeah, that was my point.
You know, he's still...
That's true. He hasn't had that much experience in that stage. Yeah. Fair enough.
But I mean, I do kind of see Dima's point because Ramirez... I think is maybe the better overall long-term option. Besedden comes back, you know, Brusen comes back from loan, you know.
We've got a ton of strikers, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean...
I wanted to see if someone was going to go, so I added at the end there.
I mean, at this point, Brusen for me is not ahead of Shkurian. I mean...
No chance.
Absolutely. I mean, he's... Yeah, for me, his time at the club is off, but...
Yeah, I wanted to see if you guys were going to catch that. So that 2-0 win leaves Dinamo top of the table. What are we? 19 points, 3 points ahead of Shakhtar, 6 wins and a draw, 22 goals for, 20 2 against. That's a plus 20 goal difference. And we will touch on our next game.
And if we didn't somehow draw against in roulettes, we'd be 5 points clear.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to the next game we're going to review, which was Benfica Champions League game. What was that, 2 days ago? Tuesday, right? Dinamo earned a 0-0 draw. So guys, thoughts? Dima, we'll start with you this time.
Yeah, listen, first of all, if you had told me before the game we would get a 0-0 draw, I'd say, yeah, you know what? That's a decent enough result. I'd take that. But after the course of the game, the way that went, maybe the end of the game is stuck too much in my head. But yeah, with the chances we had at the end of the game, I'm kind of disappointed we didn't win. I mean, in the first half, you know, I think we were pretty even. Like, we didn't look bad. We were outpossessed heavily, but we didn't look terrible. It wasn't like they were on a completely different planet to us. We didn't make any mistakes. We didn't make any critical mistakes, which led to goals, should we say. I'll get onto the mistakes that we did make. But in the first half, yeah, I think we looked good as a team and as a defensive unit. You know, all the players seemed to be on one page, you know, what everyone has to do, which, you know, I thought that was good. But going forward, it's just decision-making, end product, final ball, just not there. You know, the team, it just didn't look like a lot of players were, you know, they knew what they were actually doing going forward, which, you know, it's not great. No one was really taking the initiative. I mean, Tsigankov, nowhere to be. I'm not saying he was bad. Like, when he was on the ball, he wasn't bad. But when he was getting the ball, it wasn't like he was running at them or anything like that. He just had it, you know, a few touches here and then just lace it off. So no one was taking the initiative. Once again, yeah, the counterattacks, I mean, just not enough of them and very slow. And when we do have counterattacks, it just ends up, you know, just backwards, sideways, backwards, sideways, you know, which I didn't really like. The thing I was going to mention is a few really, really poor giveaways. I mean, Sidorchuk, like in his own box, gave it away. And we were, I believe it was it a save or a block in the end?
I believe it was a Zabarni block in the end.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. And Yerimchuk was the Boyka save. Yeah, I got those two moments slightly confused. But yeah, that was not great. But yeah, I think we did have before I forget, Shaparenka had a really good free kick save. Mikulenko had a few fair efforts. But yeah, I think we did have the better chances of that first half than Benfica, to be perfectly honest with you. In the second half, they came out and Benfica looked up for it. I'm not going to lie. I mean, Boyka made a really good save on Yerimchuk. The defense was solid. Zabarne made a few really good blocks, really good challenge. Yeah, go on, Alex.
I was just say, Yerimchuk probably should score there.
Oh, he should have scored. But I'm very happy he didn't. We would never hear the end.
Oh, yeah. I do not disagree 100%.
Listen, whatever. It is what it is. Welcome back. That's what, but yeah, I mean, the counterattack situation, it was still more or less the same, to be honest with you. Just not enough, too slow. Players don't look like they know what they're doing. But once again, I mean, I want to say a few players, and I've got in my mind De Pena and Kim Jora, just slowing down the attack so much. Just getting the ball and just stopping running and just laying it off to a partner when there's like a clear path to run with the ball and then do whatever and cross. Instead, you know, they're two players who are supposed to be crossing their roles. But, oh God, the end. Well, where do we start? Well, no, first of all, I should bring up the so-called red card for Garmash, who came on. I think he was actually quite good when he came on. Like,
good performance.
He catches, like he goes for the ball and he catches the foot. And then Anthony Taylor, the brilliant British referee who gave Stepanenko the red card in the 2-1 win against Portugal, shows him a yellow. It's like, yeah, cool. And then he shows him, bearing in mind, he didn't have a yellow. He shows him a yellow and he shows him another yellow. He shows him a red. And Garmash, like in whatever broken English, he's like, I only have one yellow. I haven't got two. So he got shown a red for like, zero reason. I thought that was crazy. I've never seen something like, something like that in a long time.
I'm not gonna lie. I honestly assumed Garmash had a yellow because I felt like every fucking 2 seconds he was doing something. Every 2 seconds he was doing something that he had to get a talking offside, didn't he? What's up?
He spent the whole game offside, didn't he? Just standing. God, I know. But I didn't think he was too bad, to be fair.
Oh, he put in a great shift.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a lot of the team did, luckily. I want to say, Shaparenko, on another day, he could have a hat-trick. You know, I brought up the first half, the free kick, he got saved. Hit the post, which was, you know, again, it was unlucky. And then, you know, of course, so he hit the post, I believe. And then the rebound came to Bujalski and the keeper, I mean, it was just, do you reckon it was more of a bad miss or a good save? Because I'll have to see it again.
It's one of those saves where like the keeper just takes the chance and diving, you know what I'm saying? He just takes that chance and it's almost like a courtesy dive, but Bujalski just hits it at the keeper.
What do you think? Where do you think he should have hit the ball more to? Because I'm trying to picture it in my head. What do you think he should have done with that?
Get under it a little bit.
Yeah, I think. I think he bottled it that moment. I mean, that was a clear chance. That was a clear chance. We should have, you know, that should have been 1-0, and it would have counted. And then, of course, you know, final minutes, Garmash. I forget what the builder was, but Garmash with a fantastic ball. Garmash, we spent the whole game offside from an offside position. Fantastic ball to Shaparenko, who sticks, you know, makes a good run, sticks out a foot, 1-0. I go absolutely crazy. Probably woke some of my neighbors up. You know, I go absolutely crazy, celebrate for like 20 seconds. Absolute mayhem, absolute scenes in my house. Absolute scenes at the stadium, you know. And then it's given offside. I'm like, oh my God, I look like such a prick. Just going absolutely mental. And then it's disallowed. And yeah, it was probably offside, but listen, I hate VAR. It's just kidding. It's just not fun, is it? I don't remember the last time I was like, oh well, this is why we have VAR. I like VAR a lot. Nah, it's boring, you know, it's killing the
game. I also want to add, Garmash had a header that if he places more towards the opposite corner, like the looping one that the Benfica keeper tipped over.
Yeah.
I remember looking at that.
That was a good save as well. I mean, that was unlucky. He didn't.
I remember thinking, looking back, I'm like, if he can place that towards the corner with like that same angle trajectory, he's going to score.
Yeah.
Because it's one of these weird ones where like.
I think that was a decent attempt, to be honest. We don't see a lot of good headers. And from all by Dinamo header standards, that's a good header.
Yeah.
But yeah, listen, it is what it is. We take a point. You know, if we won, which, you know, I'd argue we probably should have done, to be honest with you, with the chances that we had, well, you know, it would have been a bit of a different story. You know, maybe we would have been looking at, you know, third place, and maybe even, you know, with the way Barcelona has been looking, maybe even, you know, sneak out of the group. Maybe I'm just, you know, I'm just dreaming here hypothetically, but yeah, I mean, decent point. But it's disappointing to know I've got the win, but yeah, that's it from me.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get too ahead of myself, but I think with this whole race for third, race for second, I think a lot of it is going to come down to goal difference, because you kind of already know Bayern's going to be probably beating most team in this group by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Considering that we go to Munich next, we're going to have to put on a pretty solid defensive display. I just wanted to add that real quick, because they beat Barca 3-0. You know, I don't think Dinamo is going to be as cut open. I think we're going to be a little bit more defensively sound than Barcelona was, because I think Luchescu's a realist. He's not going to be, you know, going to play free-flowing possession football. But less of that. Eric, your thoughts on the Benfica match?
And I agree with what Dima said about, you know, taking a draw before the match versus the outcome and actually watching it. It reminded me actually a lot of Ukraine versus France. And if you would have told me 1-1 before the match, I would have said, awesome, yeah, I'll take it. But then after you watch it, you can't help but feel a little disappointed that we could have come away with two additional points. I thought Benfica played well. They had more chances, arguably had better chances. Like Dima said, that, you know, to start the second half, definitely up for it. I mean, they've got a very talented squad. One of the things that I put in the chat when looking at this match is, you know, I don't think Dinamo played great by any means, but if you compare this match to either of the two matches against Ferencváros last season, no disrespect to Ferencváros, but a weaker side, right? It's night and day, this match versus that one. I mean, we actually showed something in this match. I know that our counterattacks kind of fizzled out, similar to what we just talked about. Didn't have that final quality in the final third, but we looked dangerous at times, and we did create some good chances. So I was proud of that, at least. That looked much better. I was impressed with Boyko. I thought that his command of the area was surprisingly good. Every time he rushes out, I keep remembering the friendly against Jordan where he completely missed the ball. But his rushing out and his punching was exceptional during this match. I was very impressed. Obviously made the big save on Yaremchuk. I was happy to see that we made life difficult for him. I mean, again, he's a solid striker. I hope he does well in the rest of the tournament, just not against Dinamo. So I was happy to see that we made life difficult for him. You know, besides that, I mean, yeah, obviously a bummer towards the end of the match with some of the chances that we created. You know, the Hadamash header, Shaparenko's free kick was earlier in the match, but obviously, you know, he hit the post, and then we had, obviously Bujalski kind of scuffed the follow-up. And then was it this match where the ball was played across, and I think it was Otamendi that kind of got a little touch to it.
Oh my God,
Verbic off, and that would have been another good opportunity for us. I mean, I can't fault him too much because Otamendi did get a touch to it. But that was another one that, I was so bummed that we weren't able to finish that off. Yeah, I mean, definitely still a big point in the grand scheme of things. Like I said, it was nice to see this compared to last season. I thought Shaparenko looked great, as usual. Looked very solid in the midfield. You know, we're talking about the Sidorchuk giveaway, which I agree was a bad giveaway. I do kind of think it was a bit of an awkward ball for him to handle from Boyko, to be fair. So I wouldn't put that
But I would have had no problem if he just booted that one touch into the
exactly. I mean, that's kind of, it's kind of an awkward ball for him to handle. But I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I'm missing out on. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you see what, and I think what Bayern did to Barcelona was kind of predictable. But I mean, I think spots 2 and 3 really are anyone's for the taking.
I think this group is much more open than I think people initially assumed. And I think a lot of this group honestly depends on what Barcelona you get against Benfica and Dinamo. I think that's the biggest.
Yeah.
If you get the Barcelona that shows up against Bayern Munich, I don't see why Dinamo or Benfica can't like their chances against them.
I think that if we get them in the 2-1 loss from that season and we play like that again in this Champions League, I think we beat them. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we could beat them at home if we get that Barcelona showing up. I mean, they still have a ton of quality in their squad, course, yeah. So that's not to be overlooked. But really the only other thing that I will mention from this match is just an interesting statistic that they had 3 shots inside the box, whereas we had 9. Or they had 9 shots in the box, whereas we had 3. So yeah, they're getting into our own penalty area a little too easily. So that's something that I'd like to see us focus on in the coming matches, just be a little bit more compact at the back and not allow them to play through the middle and, like I said, penetrate our box.
Now, I don't know if those stats show up, but how many of those would you how many of those, does it say how many of those were blocked shots? Because I remember we definitely had a good amount of shots, maybe a little bit of emergency defending, but a lot of shots blocked. I think Mikulenko had 1 or 2, Sirota had 1, Zabarni definitely had 1 or 2.
So, we had 6 blocked shots.
Yeah. I don't know if that factors in. Does that factor into those 9, or is that 6 added to the 9?
I don't know. It doesn't. Because
if that's 6 out of 9 block shots, that's not actually that bad. Yeah, it's still 9 too many, but you know, that's not terrible. But if that's,
I mean,
excluding the 9, that's much more alarming.
They had 4 shots on target, 12 off. We had 4 shots on target and 8 off. So I mean, it really wasn't that huge of a difference from a shots perspective. And, you know, you could argue we were even a little bit more clinical with our shooting, putting shots on target. But like I said, overall, to be completely honest, I was pleased with us showing up. Overall, I thought we played decent. I thought that, happy to come away with the point. Definitely a little disappointed that it wasn't 2 additional ones. But like I said, this group, spots 2 and 3 are anyone's for the taking. So I'm really excited. I hope that we continue to put in matches like this.
Before we move on to the match ratings, I just wanted to go over real quick. So last time we played Benfica in the Champions League was 5 years ago. Lineup was Rutko, Silva, Khachridi, Vida, Antunes, Korzun, Fedorchuk, Sidorchuk in the midfield. That's an awful midfield. Jesus. Gonzalez.
Fedorchuk was absolutely awful. You just give me flashbacks to that performance. Carry on.
Gonzalez, Yarmolenko, and Moraes were the front 3. How many Dinamo players today get in that team? And the point of what I wanted to say, though, is that we lost with a much better team. And I don't think this Benfica side is too different in quality. My point is, I think we could see how good of a job Luchesco has done. I mean, I would say this Dinamo team is overall probably better than the current one, maybe besides the midfield. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
Rutko doesn't make our team today. No chance. Silva... I take Silva. Silva was kind of finished at that time, but I'd take him over Kanjoro, to be fair. Khachridi, he was kind of like going downhill at that time, wasn't he? Vida, I'd probably take Vida and Khachridi over Sirota, but I think Zabarni probably starts. Antunes, no, I'd probably take Nicole and Castella. Korzun, I take Sidorchuk. Sidorchuk, we can't really count. Fyodorchuk, no chances he make the team today. Yarmolenko easy over Tsigankov. Marais, I'd probably take Marais over Shkurin, to be fair. Yeah, Gonzalez.
I'd agree with that. I take Gonzalez over Nepeta.
Listen, yeah, I don't like saying it, but Marais is probably a better player back then. Well, than Shkurin is now. Gonzalez or Depena. That's tricky, man. That is tricky.
I think I take Gonzalez. You know why? I think just the pace. I think Gonzalez is more pace than Depena.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's more of a classic winger. Inverted winger, I should say.
But obviously, Glatky gets in this team. No doubt about it, right? Dima just... Dima's like, nope, don't need him.
Yeah. Was he on the... Oh, he was on the bench. Yeah. Yeah, let's... Pavkovsky, Marazuk, Rybalka, Makarin, Kubyalski, Tsigankov. It's a pretty crap bench, to be honest with you. Right back, left back, DM, AM. Gladky isn't a player, so he doesn't count.
actually, was it Makarenko, Bujalski, Tsigankov isn't bad.
Yeah, it wasn't. I don't remember. So that was like in what, November, October kind of time?
October 19th.
I don't remember Makarenko playing a lot around that time, to be honest with you. I remember him. Well, he got his contract terminated after that 3-4 Shakhtar game.
Yeah, that was the last game I remember him playing.
He never played again.
He wasn't even the worst one out of that game, too.
Well, Khachiridi scored a brace into his own net. So, I was furious after that game.
That's the one game where if Morais, that made Morais a Dynamo legend when he just absolutely started punching Darius Serdan, Yaroslav Rokitsky until he joined Shakhtar.
Yeah, didn't he have like three Shakhtar players on the ground?
yeah, he punched Stepanenko, Serdan, Rokitsky.
Oh my god, the three most annoying people.
If he doesn't join Shakhtar, I would pay for that to be built as a statue.
I liked, to be honest with you, I hate him. I liked Marais for that, and pretty much that alone.
Still the only thing I like him for.
Yeah, no, listen.
I still need to buy the T-shirt of Popov challenging him that says fatality.
When he went flying, yeah.
Oh my god, listen. Is that even for sale anywhere? I don't even remember where that you could buy that.
It was for sale back then, which is like nearly 2 years ago now. Jesus. But I don't imagine there are many in circulation.
Sure you could like design it or whatever.
Is that the game where Sidorchuk scored an absolute banger from distance?
No.
Yeah, is that in the cup?
No, I believe it was in the league game literally just after the cup. So where Krivtsov put the header against us.
I remember that one. Is that the same game where our genius ultras, the fucking idiots, they racially abused Tyson, or is that a different game?
Yes. Is that one?
Oh, the ultras, what are you going to do, man? Fucking idiots.
Make of it what you will, but the police never did find anything, any proof of any racism. Make of that.
Did they really not? I thought they did.
Nope.
Oh, geez.
I'm pretty sure I read they didn't. But the police in Ukraine aren't very competent. So.
I was going to say, that's my next point. I don't know how much that actually means anything. So less of Benfica, less of Morais. Actually, I remember Morais missing a penalty against Benfica. Neither here nor there.
Oh, Jesus. They were lucky that game, man. You can't even. Far from that.
Yeah. But I think that was in Lisbon, that one. When he missed the penalty.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. We had the chances to win the game, and it was poor defending of it.
Yeah.
Less of that.
Yeah, all I remember from that game is like my stream froze, and I was trying to like, I was following the UEFA updates, and it says missed penalty by Morais. And I'm like, god damn it. Okay, less of that, less of Benfica. We move on to Alexandria. So, Alexandria, I predicted them to get.
What? They no longer have the Ukrainian Guardiola, Volodymyr Sharan.
And yet they're doing better without him. All hope
is lost.
And yet they're doing better without him. Wait, you said the Ukrainian Guardiola. Didn't you mean the Ukrainian De Zerbi?
Wait, say that again.
I said, you said you called him the Ukrainian Guardiola, but don't you mean the Ukrainian De Zerbi?
No, no, Shadon is clear.
Oh, okay. This I predicted this team to get relegated, and they're in third place.
Shadon actually has heart and balls that he brings to every match, so he's clear.
That's fair. Ooh, those are fighting words, Eric, but I like it.
I stand by them.
I don't disagree with you. Yeah, this is not actually a bad team. This, I pulled up this team's roster. There's some good UPL experience.
Well,
this
just mentioned Rabalka. He plays for them these days.
Yeah, he's actually played pretty well. I saw him when he played against Shakhtar. I thought he was very good in that game.
Has he played since that? Because I literally heard he played really well, but I haven't heard anything about him since then.
He got hurt towards the end of the game, I believe, from what I recall.
Oh, I don't Jesus, know. Surikov. I forgot.
Yeah, so there's definitely some good players in here. Surikov, you just mentioned, Miroslavchenko, Kriuchantsev. I always liked the Latvian center back, Kaspar Zdubra. I thought he was always fairly decent. Kovalets is in this team. Who else we got? Claudio Spinelli.
Wasn't Kovalets supposed to be like the next big thing like a few years ago? And he never left the Luxembourg.
I'm not going to lie. I only really remember hearing him like 3 years ago when he joined Chornomorets after coming from some random team.
Where's Sitalo?
In Gulets?
Isn't he in Gulets these days?
Is he not at... Wasn't he at Oleksandr last season?
Yeah, he's at...
They've got that guy from Genoa, haven't they? Spinelli. Yeah.
This is the one I was going to mention that I found most interesting.
Oh, Sitalo did leave on a free. Okay.
Pretty random, though. Well, he's got one goal in 7 games, so he's not like...
Yeah, so that's the one I was interested in, the Claudio Spinelli, because he can't be that bad of a player if he's coming from Genoa. Mind you, he was on loan from Genoa for a couple of years, but Kalyuzhny in this team, Jesus, that's nice. That's a throwback. Regardless, this is still a good team, good players. You know, they're not in third, for nothing. It's based on merit.
They're in third.
They're in third place.
They've only lost one, but they only lost one match, which funnily enough was to Minai, but
which opening day, I think too, right?
I don't think it was opening day.
I think for Minai it was their first because they were supposed to start the season against us.
Remember
they beat Zorya.
They beat Zorya, that's correct.
They beat Zorya. I remember I was like out walking past a stadium in Zaporizhzhia. I was like, why the hell didn't I buy tickets? But
yeah,
they beat Shakhtar too.
Yeah, so they beat Zorya.
That's the big one.
Lost to Minai, beat Shakhtar, drew Lviv.
That's a funny combination. Lost to Minai, beat Shakhtar.
Beat Kolos, drew Chornomorets, and beat Ingolets. I feel like they beat all the good teams, but they performed poorly against the
inconsistent team, isn't it?
It's still much better of a team. I think if you were to ask Oleksandria, you want 14 points after 7 games. I think they'd bite your hand off for that, to be fair.
Yeah.
Moving on. So I think it's fair to say that this is a game where either way, Dynamo should not sit back, should press the opposition, really go for the game. Any disagreements there? I think this is one where we should just go after, try to kill them off as early as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I haven't really watched a ton of them. I'm assuming that they're still playing that dreadful brand of direct football that they played under Shadon.
Yeah, the Burnley view.
You know, if you remember one of the goals that we conceded against them last season, where we gave the center back basically all the time in the world to pass downfield. I forget who it was, if it was Sitalo that chested it down or if it was Sitalo that scored. But someone chested it down to one of their players, and then they scored. I think we ended up winning that match.
That was like the most. That was like the most UPL Village team goal ever.
Exactly. So for me, obviously, we need to be aware of balls over the top, right? But the main thing is we can't be giving their back line, their center backs, for example, time to pick their passes downfield. So I'd like to see us bringing that line of engagement higher, pressing aggressively. Again, this is a match that we should be winning.
We'll move on to a preferred 11. I think Boyko right now is the clear starter. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, for me, Boyko.
Yeah.
Right back, ideally Timchik, but he'll probably go Kilnzora because, as Dima said, allegedly it looks like Luchesko doesn't really rate Timchik that much. Center backs. I think I'd go Zabarni Shabanov, actually.
Is the Super Cup after this match?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ideally, I would love for Burdav to be fit. And by the way, he's back in training, which is a great sight.
He's been in training.
No, but he just got back to full training, like being able to like scrimmage and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because I know he's resumed light training for a little while.
No, because I saw Dinamo made a post on it, I think today or yesterday, about it, that he's back in full training.
He is back in training, like full training now.
So hopefully maybe what, another
month? I think he'd be a big addition to that, to be honest with you.
Maybe, I would say hopefully another two. I think at this point it's just a matter of building up fitness before he's ready to play. So hopefully what, maybe another 2 or 3 weeks before he can maybe start to see the bench, and maybe a month, month and a half, like let's say a good 5-6 weeks until he can maybe start to get some minutes on the field, hopefully. I don't know exactly.
It will be dependent on the winter friendlies, won't it?
Oh, he'll definitely be in the winter friendlies. But if, I'm not saying we need to rush him back, but if he's fit and healthy to play in some league games, I don't see why he can't at least sit on the bench.
Yeah. Why would we need to rush him back? What did you say? We don't need to rush him back?
Yes, we don't need to. Yeah, we don't. I'm saying we don't need to rush him back.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
What did you think he said?
A Russian back.
Oh, in an ideal scenario, I would play Shabanov and Burda in this game, but I don't, like I said, no real reason to rush Burda back.
That's a very 2018-19 center back partnership, isn't it? Shabanov, Burda.
All we're missing is Kadar at left back.
Oh,
good memories.
Kadar Shabanov, that's like the Europa, the 1920 Europa League.
It was. Aren't they both left footed?
Yeah.
That was fun times, full stop.
That reminds me when Dinamo lost 1-0 to FK Lviv at home in 2018, I think. I actually have that FK Lviv kit, by the way, just to put that out there. It's a nice kit. I'm going to lie to you, it's a nice kit.
Some of these games couldn't pay me to rewatch those.
So, yeah, I would go Zabarni and... Actually, yeah, Zabarni Shabanov, Mikolenko to left back, midfield three. I would go Sidorchuk, Shaparenko, and Garmash. The only reason I would rest Bujalski is just because since he is kind of coming off a bit of a knock, I don't want to be pushing him back too quickly.
Yeah, I agree with you.
What?
Yeah, plus we need to save Andrievski and Shepelio for the Super Cup.
Oh, yeah.
We might as well bring back Kutskevich for the... that guy knew how to get results against them. Who else? Bring Milievski always scored against Shakhtar. Might as well bring him back.
So I would go Shaparenko, Sidorchuk, and the GOAT, Mr. High-Tech himself in the midfield. And on the wings, Tsiganko, Verbic.
Lenev, right wing.
Okay, Lenev, Verbic.
Yes, not bad.
And through the middle, Kulac.
Well, he's not fit. Even if you were serious, hypothetically, he wouldn't be able to.
I wouldn't freak out if I saw Vitinha start, though.
No, that's the thing I was going to say. I really want him to come off the bench at least.
That's what I would want. I'd rather, I don't know if I want him to start this match, but I'd have him come off the bench.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, speaking of Vitinha, has he accepted you guys on Instagram? Because he still hasn't for me.
Well, I'll check right now. What's his...
He did like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, look at you here. Vitinha.
I'm pretty sure I'm still...
Okay, I just tried it right now.
Nope, request. He's still requested for me.
I like how his profile picture is him in the Champions League. I love to see that already. He has
Even
to play.
Though he's just right.
He has to play sooner or later.
Yeah, I think he will.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is also the type of money they spent. I think this is more of a transfer that Luchescu might have had more of a hand in, I'm going to guess. I would hope so, at least.
Yeah.
Just considering the amount of money we spent, which, you know, nowadays $6 million is actually a lot for us. So go over that. Boyko and goal, back four. Who do we say is right back?
I'd prefer Timchik.
I'm going to say
too, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. I'll just put Timchik because I think that's what we'd all prefer. Timchik right back, Zabarni, Shabanov, Mikolenko. Midfield three, Sidorchuk, Shaparenko, Garmash. Wingers, Lenev and Vitinho. And up top, Mr. Shkurin. Guys, you all want to give me a score prediction for Saturday's game?
2-0.
2-0, Dima?
As always, I don't do the score prediction, but I think Dinamo win, by the way. Well, maybe not. Maybe not for certain, but I hope it will happen.
I'm going to be confident. I'm going to go for a 3-0 Dinamo win on Saturday. So on that note, we actually, should we do the Shakhtar preview now? What do you think? Preview the Super Cup?
I mean, what is there to say? There's blood in the water. Let's go get them.
I like it. Do you think we could win this? Do you think? Okay. I'm not going to say, do you think we could?
Yes.
Yes. Should we?
Yes, we could. Listen. Have you seen the way they've been playing? Have you seen the results they've been getting? What is the reason why we can't?
I mean, it's amazing what happens when Mudrik isn't up against a defender that kicks the ball into his own net.
Yeah.
Hey, he's the future golden boy.
Listen. Oh well. I tweeted from the pod account the link. Go vote for our boys at Burnley. What was I going to say? Yeah, I mean, I'd be pretty disappointed not to get it. Like, this is a good time to play Shakhtar for me.
It's honestly, it's been a good time for a while to be playing.
Yeah, but yeah, the past at least or around a year has been, you know, it's not been
towards the end of the last season of the 2019-20 season, they started to seem a little off.
I would even just say this calendar year. At any point from the end of last club season to the beginning of this club season is a good time to be playing them. So for me personally, I will be very disappointed if we don't get a result.
Surely the full on starting 11 has to play in this game, right?
Yeah,
it's a trophy on the line. Because I would start the full team, so I go Boyko. Probably Kianzora, Zabarni, Sirota, Mikolenko, Sidorchuk, Shapa, Bujalski, Tsigankov, Verbitur, Dependa, and Shkurin up top. Because also considering on the week following weekend, we have Ruch, which you could rest players. And then the following week, we have Bayern, which don't really have any interest in resting players for the Bayern game.
No.
So I don't mind if you kind of even put a little bit extra effort towards the game and take that chance with resting a couple of guys against Ruch to make sure everyone's prepared for Bayern.
Yeah. But listen, for me, I'll be disappointed not to get the result here.
I hope there'll be a good crowd at the game because I don't know, you know, how much the percent capacity is restricted. And I still think that a good atmosphere helps Dinamo more than Shakhtar, although Shakhtar are based in Kiev right now.
Yeah, listen, it is what it is.
So, Eric,
The Alexandria game, sorry. Funnily enough, Dinamo are letting children in for that game for free. So in case you're listening, Eric, before you make any so-called funny comments, take that information, do what you want with it. Maybe it'll be useful for someone.
Eric, score prediction for the Super Cup?
3-1 Dinamo.
Dima, you? I know you don't give score.
I have a feeling.
I don't do score predictions.
I think 1-0. I think it'll be a bit of a boring 1-0.
What are the odds?
I have a feeling we're going to win, but I think if we do win, I think it'll be a bit of a boring kind of 1-0, kind of that kind of game.
Like the game.
But I'm open to a bigger win. of course.
What are the odds that Xavi and Iniesta play?
Close to zero.
They won't. As much as we would love that, they won't.
On that note,
if they start, they do it again. I'll be, you know, it might be time to, you know, consider some changes, you know, to the starting 11. But
well, they have to play at Barcelona away, of course, because that was like that's when that first came out. On that note, that's going to bring us to the end of our show. Dima, if someone wants to get into contact with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, it's at 1927 Dima. Be sure to follow my Out of Context Dynamo Kiev account as well. Of course, for all the best Out of Context Dynamo posts. But yeah.
And Eric, if someone wants to contact you, how can they do that?
At @full_stop. No, really, it's at Libovich.
And if you want to follow
_S.
_S.
And if you want to follow me, your host, you can find me on Twitter at Lyshyk7. That's LYSZYK, then the number 7. If you want to follow our show, you can find us on Twitter at Dynamo Abroad. And if you want to get into contact with us, you can drop us a DM on Twitter, or you can send us an email to dynamoabroadpodcast@gmail.com. Well, that's all we have for you this week. From everyone here at Dynamo Abroad, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time. Dynamo, Dynamo.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.